So there are certain things we need to look to. As I mentioned, the deflation and the inflation. Everyone says, all the financial reports say that the dollar is going to collapse. Now, sooner or later, it will. It's gone on long before they said it would already collapse. So what they are looking to is this. They're looking to the International Monetary Fund and the Bank of International Settlements for special drawing rights. Now, what that will do, that will create a new world currency for world trade. Now, we look back in history. One of the things that caused a lot of the problems before World War II was because of the cost of World War I to Britain. They had to take the pound off the gold standard in 1930 and 1931. That added more to the depression. Okay? So the monetary system has collapsed several times. It came near to collapse in 1970 or 71 when Richard Nixon, president then, had to take the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, okay, which was at $42 an ounce. So having a paper money system backed by gold and silver sounds really good, but you have difficulties in managing that. Okay? For example, in the book, The Death of Money, he says there's a coming monetary system based upon what I just described, but back it with gold. Now, in order to do this, they have to have the dollar, they have to have the pound, they have to have the euro, they have to have the Chinese yuan, and I forget what the fifth currency was. I forget what the fifth one is, probably the yen. But anyway, that is called a basket of currencies. And then they would back this with gold. However, they would have to remember when Franklin Roosevelt asked for all the gold to come back in. They raised the price from, I think, $29 an ounce to $40 an ounce, something like that. Okay? Guess what they would have to raise it to take care of the world system today? $9,000 an ounce. Okay? Now then, those who have gold and silver, you think, oh, what a profit I'm going to make. No. You're one of the few who are going to remain the same. Everybody else is going to be broke. See? Now then, in reading the book, you have to be careful and watch what you're reading. How then do you increase the money supply? Because if you have a fixed amount for gold and silver, for a fixed amount of currency, then when you need new currency, how do you back it? Because there's not enough coming out of the mines to put into the gold stock or the silver stock to give you an equal $9,000 an ounce for gold and $500 an ounce for silver to have a currency that you can trust. And this blew me away when I read it. Simply raise the price of gold. Now think about that, because that's not much different than just printing money if you need it, is it? No. See? Okay. Now then, let's look at something that wealth cannot do. If you do have gold or silver, that's fine. What they're going to do before they bring in this system to get you panicked and to get you to sell it is to reduce the price way down. See, it got up to $1,900 an ounce for gold, and then they brought it down to about $1,200 to $1,300 an ounce. And the reason that they want to get it down, now mark this, is to allow China to buy it so they can back their currency and it becomes one of the currencies in this, in the SDRs, the special drawing rights, see? So they're putting the price low, causing people to sell it so they can get it back, see? The super elite of the world always end up with it all right where we started. The rich rule over the poor. Okay? That's why Christ has to return. All right, now let's come to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, because there is more to it than just the thieves of bankers. It has to do with human nature and all the sinful people in the world and God's judgment on them. Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear this, all you people, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Sound a little bit like Revelation 13? My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the thoughts of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the lyre. Why should I fear in the days of evil? See, because the only protection you're going to have, not a bank account, and if you have gold and silver and you have it in a storage vault at your bank, they can just open it up and take it because everything in the bank they own. See, even if it has your name on it. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my supplanters surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and in their many riches boast themselves. Yes, indeed. How great we are. However, verse 7, no man can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. No one's going to buy his way out of it. No one, regardless of all the wealth in the world, has any connection with God unless there's repentance, unless there's baptism, unless there is forsaking the way of the world. While we live in the world, we need to use it wisely according to God's ways. We cannot change the world. Christ has to change that. Try and setting up a gold and silver monetary system will work like all gold and silver monetary systems work for a while. Sooner or later, you have to create money out of nothing, whether you print it with no backing or write it as the Federal Reserve with nothing in the bank, write a check, because the physical assets are not in a stable price position, nor is there enough of it coming from production of mining in order to handle a growing population or an inflationary economic system. See? Verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is costly and no payment is ever enough, that he should live forever and never see corruption. All right, come over here to Psalm 52. Verse 1, why do you boast yourself of evil, O mighty man, and all the elite of the world? See, they're planning all of these things behind the scenes. They give consumption of other information to people to chase it down. They give information to certain ones to let out information, partly what they're going to do, to see what kind of response they're going to have. See, so we can't look to anything in the world that is going to really be a hedge against problem or help see us through the difficult times. Only God is going to do that. While we have to be wise, that's correct. While we need to have some reserve, that's correct. While we need to have some reserves of food and things like this, because the day is going to come, they're going to close all the banks on a Friday and be out of commission for 10 days. Then it's all going to be issued with a new currency. So you need something to last between the period of collapse and the institution of the new international monetary system, because the prophecies, when that happens, there are many more to be fulfilled. And that will be the last step before the mark of the beast. All right? The mercy of God endures forever. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Why do you think we have the wars going on? War is one way to keep the economy from collapsing. See? You love evil more than good, and lying more than to speak righteousness. That's just the way the politicians are. Okay? Now, let's come and see. Come here to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's see how God looks at things. There's going to be some type of monetary and economic means of living. There always will be. And even when they had barter, it wasn't that much of barter. Pretty soon they had the paper certificates, just like we saw in the video of the continental dollars that they printed to oblivion, which paid for the Revolutionary War. But let's look at it as God looks down on the earth. And he looks down on the earth at all people, Jeremiah 18. He looks down on the evil, looks down on the good, looks down on the people of Israel, that is the descendants, modern descendants of Israel, as we have in our new book, America and Britain in Prophecy, and that's not just the Jews. He looks at every nation on earth, and he knows in the end time it's going to be a whole one world system. Because he knows what man is going to do. He knows what Satan is going to do. He knows how they're going to have things working and arranged. Yet he judges everyone, the whole kit and caboodle, by their righteousness or sin as gauged by his Ten Commandments in the letter of the law. Not having to do with salvation. Salvation is separate and an individual calling. Okay? So let's pick it up here in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at his wheel. Go on. Now, if you hear a little noise in the sound, it's because they're doing some work to the building, and we can't wait for them. We've waited long enough, so we'll go ahead. If you can put up with the noise, we'll put up with the noise. All right, back here to Jeremiah 18. Okay. Verse 4. And a vessel that he made of clay was ruined in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you even as this potter?" See, God wants us to receive his benefits, his way, through his hand, says the Lord. "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now notice verse 7 and 8. This becomes very important. If at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom. Now, you go to the book of Daniel, and it's all about the world ruling empires, all about nations and kingdoms. Okay? To pluck it up and to pull it down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil. And, of course, that's the same way with everyone else. Have we not had enough people come along and say that we need to have an honest government? You know, not a matter that to convert it, just be honest. Okay? Treat everyone correctly, see? So God is looking down and judging all nations. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. So we're right at this point right now in this nation. God is looking down here. What are we doing? How are our lives? What is the degree of sin? What is the degree of deception? See? How many people are trying to do good? Okay. If they turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do it. And if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good which I have said that I would do to them. Now, you can apply this to Jerusalem, which we'll see here in just a minute, and the Jews. Babylon was prophesied it would go down. Persia would take it over, prophesied to do that. Persia would come down because of Greece. Greece would take over. After that, Rome would take over. And all of the major moves in the world with wars and things like this comes as God judges that nation. Okay? So he said, verse 11, "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am forming evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Stop lying, stop cheating, stop committing adultery, stop all of the same-sex marriages, stop all of those things, stop your Sunday worship, keep the Sabbath, get rid of your idols, worship me instead of all these false gods." Now you see the magnitude of sin that there is here in America, see? Yes, they speak about God with their lips, but their hearts are far away from him. See? So God says, repent. There are some out there trying to say, let's renew and restore America, get it back to original Protestantism. God says, come to me, not to a religion. See? But what they do, they say, there is no hope, for we will walk after our own ways. Who are you to tell me what to do? See? Now in 2 weeks, we've got what? Halloween. Pure satanic evil. Isn't it interesting? The first holiday in the fall starts out with direct connection with Satan the devil. But if you would tell the people, look, you're worshiping Satan. Oh, no, this is just fun for the kids. Okay? Yes. And we each one will do according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask among the nations, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Okay? Does the snow of Lebanon fall on the rock of the field, or shall the cold waters that come from another place cease to flow? Because my people have forgotten me, forgotten God, turned their back on God. As a matter of fact, there's a website out there, Renew America, and they have a 4-part series on, since the nation has turned its back on God, God is turning his back on the nation. Why do you think we have all these problems? It affects everything. Okay, we'll see from the greatest to the least in just a minute. They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths and not in the highway, to make their land desolate in a perpetual hissing. People want to know, why do we have the drought in California? Well, give you a short answer. Because of all your sins and lying, and especially the same-sex marriage that comes from the federal judges, the local judges, the governor, the legislature, from the churches, from the people. You know, just imagine if you went into San Francisco and said, lo, San Francisco is going to fall into the ocean, all of it, unless you repent of all your homosexuality. Unless you get rid of every bit of it and everyone get in sackcloth and ashes and repent to God on your knees and fasting for 3 days, you'd be arrested, torn apart, and thrown into the bay yourself, right? Yes, indeed, see? Okay, we'll see this in just a minute, okay? Come over here to chapter 5. Let's come back here to chapter 4. We'll go to chapter 4 first because, see, this is what needs to happen here. Jeremiah always called to repentance before judgment. We are all facing a lot of very difficult things in this country, and monetarily we are facing some really terrible things to occur. Because when it happens, and all the banks are closed, and the dollar is worthless, unless we have done something to get through that period, we're going to be in bad shape, because you know what's going to happen. When they first hear it's going to close, they're going to rush down to the ATMs and try and draw the money out. It's going to say, sorry, no funds withdrawn. They're going to run over to the store and they're going to say, I'm going to get me some food. And they get there and the parking lot's all full of cars and people are running in trying to get everything. By the time you get in there to get a bottle of water, it's empty. All the food is gone. It's going to be madness and mayhem when it hits. We're not prepared for it, see. So God says here, chapter 4, verse 1, if you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. See? God says there's a time to quit. And will swear, as the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, then shall the nations bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Okay? They won't do it. God says it's coming. Let's pick it up here in verse 16. And the only thing holding back the collapse is that the churches and people of God need to be bringing this message. And the churches and people of God have got to be using this worthless money, which is still usable, and be faithful in their tithes and offerings so that the message can get out. See? Don't do like the world and take care of yourself first, because God has first claim on you. See? Verse 16. Tell it to the nations, behold, proclaim against Jerusalem, besiegers are coming from a distant land, and they will come here, and they will set their voice against the cities of Judah. Likewise, watchmen of a field, they are against her all around, because she rebelled against me, says the Lord. Now, why are we facing all of these things? People don't like to hear it. Like I said the other day, what did they do to Jeremiah? They said, take him out and kill him. Anyone who speaks that going to destroy this city is deserving of death. So what did they do down in Houston just recently? The lesbian mayor of the city subpoenaed all the transcripts of all the ministers about what they were preaching. See? So the only thing holding it back is what is the condition of the churches of God and what are they preaching and teaching? And the nation is already in bad shape, okay? We don't know where this Ebola thing is going to go, but as Dolores has said to me about 3 or 4 times, just wait till it gets to South America and there will be a stampede over the border. Now, we don't know. Maybe they will stop it here. Maybe they will stop it there. But no, another one of something else is going to come, unless there's repentance, see? Okay? Rebelled against me, verse 18. Now listen carefully. Your way and your doings have brought these things upon you. This is your evil. How bitter it is. How it pierces into the heart. I was thinking about that the other day when I was watching the baseball game. Here are all these fans out there. You know, they have their hats, they have their shirts, they have their slogans, they have everything, you know. And I was thinking, wonder how many have their minds on God. They do. Their own God. Their team. See? Think about that on the Sabbath. Many gods. All these pleasures. They don't think of it that way. You know, because is it right to be loyal? Yes. Is it right to help to cheer your team on? Well, that's not a bad thing, but if it is your God and if it is your idol, then your sin against God is great. Do you go to the game on the Sabbath? Oh, yeah, that's the best time to have it. See? So here's Jeremiah's reaction. My bowels, I writhe in pain. O walls of my heart is beating wildly within me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the ram's horn and the alarm of war. And we hear it, don't we? Do we have nice, friendly people who belong to a brand new caliphate in the Middle East called ISIS? Do they want to bring blessings and kindness to us or cut our throats? Okay. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the banner of war and hear the sound of the ram's horn? Now, if you told that to people today, if you went up to Fox News and said, okay, I want to buy an hour of time on, I want to take the O'Reilly factor since he believes in the truth, nothing but the truth, and you let me buy that hour, and you let me bring truth and nothing but the truth, first words out of your mouth. Okay? Because, verse 22, for my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are stupid children. If you don't believe that, watch the O'Reilly Factor and the Waters interviews, okay? They are stupid. He interviewed some the other day. Why do we have Columbus Day? Columbus. Didn't he come on the Mayfair? The Mayflower, rather? Okay. Standing there in their bikinis with 99% of their bodies hanging out, okay? And they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, yes, but to do good they have no knowledge. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. The heavens, they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they quaked, and all the hills were shaken. Think of that, see. Think of what is going to happen. And people will say, well, why would God do this? Okay. Come over here to chapter 6. We'll bypass chapter 5. We'll let you read it. That's desolation enough. Okay, so he says, verse 13, there we go, catch it. Remember, get it all in context, okay? Verse 13, for everyone from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is greedy for gain. And that is true. The other day, I went over here to fill up at the gas station, and sitting right on a little place where they had a little garden, a little brick sitting there. Here was a homeless person who had enough money to buy a lotto ticket, scratching it off to see if I could win. Rather than, what do I have to do to straighten my life out so that I can work, so that I can earn something, see? From the least to the greatest. And then you look at all of the bankers trying to cover their tracks, and you look what the Federal Reserve is doing, the least to the greatest. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? No, they were not ashamed at all, nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. So there's something we have to do, see. Stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. And they say, we will not walk in it. Even though you call them to repentance, they say no. Because, see, the whole world is so deceived that the truth sounds like a lie. And anyone who is speaking the truth sounds like a raving lunatic. Okay? Verse 17, I've also set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, you nation and O congregation, what will happen to them. And the nation is the people, the congregation is the churches of God. Okay. Hear, O earth. Now, when God swears by the heaven or the earth, there's no missing that that's a guarantee, right? Can't get any greater guarantee than the heaven and the earth, correct? Behold, I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. God judges the thoughts. God judges the heart. See? Because they have not hearkened to my words nor to my law, but have rejected it. And there are more Bibles in America than any place on earth. They estimate that on average there are four Bibles in every household in America. Some have fewer, some have more. We counted them in our house. We have 42. Okay? That's because a preacher lives there. Okay. Now then, what should we do while there is, let's come to Proverbs, the third chapter. See? There's going to be no change in the system to God's way as long as we're living. Okay? But what can we do? We have to come to God. We have to follow through with what we need to do in our own lives and in what we need to do as a people, the whole congregation of the different churches of God. They all have to be out there preaching the truth and preaching repentance and warning the people. Because remember, unless we warn the people, their blood's going to be on our hands, right? So here's what we need to do, all of us, see? If we can take these digital funds, and if we can take these Federal Reserve notes, and if we can turn those into teaching and preaching, and like we've been doing with books and booklets and Bibles and websites and CDs and DVDs and getting the word out, that's where all the tithes and offerings go. See? God will watch over us and take care of us if we do what he wants us to do. So here, Proverbs 3 tells us, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they shall be length of days and long life and peace to you," and we are looking for eternal life, correct? Yes, so the stakes are greater. "Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them upon the tablets of your heart." In spite of the evil of the world, you still do what is right before God, you see? "So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." And the older you get, the more important that is. Because those who have made the worst mistakes in their lives have made them when they get old. Look at Solomon. Look at David. Look at Hezekiah, okay? And the only king who really repented was the one who was the worst, as we saw the other day, Manasseh, okay? "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And this is what we need. The blessing of God, the protection of God, the angels of God, the relationship that we have through grace with God. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You know good, you know evil, you know right, you know wrong. "It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones." That means the inner part of your body. And marrow produces blood, so that means life-giving blood. "Honor God with your substance." Now, substance is everything that you make besides what grows out of the ground. If you do not produce your own fruit, but you work, if you don't work, you have nothing. If you do work, you have something. And that something is an increase because of your work. After, as we saw, the government takes the taxes. Okay? So then God says, tithe. Give offering. You don't give what you don't have. But if you put God first, like it says here first, honor God with all your substance. He will bless you. He will make what you have go further. And with the first fruits of all your increases, then your barns shall be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay? Now, that's what we need to do. One other one we will put in here. If we give tithes and offerings, and of course, the important thing is that you know that it is going for the purpose that it should be. Come here to Matthew 6, okay? Matthew 6. You can't just be thinking of yourself. Now, Roy Asante has a very good sermon that we're going to send out on tithing and how that in his experience in his life, and it has been with ours as well, that whatever we get, we give to God first. Now, some people say, well, it's hard to manage. Then that's how you're going to learn to manage with God's blessing, because it is a truism. If you do not tithe and if you do not give offerings, you're going to spend it all. And if you spend it all, you won't have the blessing of God, because you're leaning to your own understanding, thinking that you will have a way out. But remember what God says about the tithe, and Roy brings this out very carefully in his sermon, that it's holy and belongs to him. So if you use that for yourself, you are robbing God. See? So keep that in mind. All right, verse 19, Matthew 6. Do not store up treasures for yourself on the earth. See? You're to have enough reserve to get by. Here in the church, we have enough reserve to get by. And we make sure that everything that God sends us, we use for producing the things to preach the gospel and feed the brethren. Okay? Where moth and rust spoil, and where thieves break through and steal. But store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. Anything you give to God, that is storing up the treasure in heaven. Okay? Where neither moth nor rust spoils, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that is a truism. The Bible also shows that those who are righteous, they never see starve. Why? Because God is able to provide. So here we're living in a world of multiple contradictions, aren't we? Here even this money, which amounts to IOUs, as long as there is a value to it, then we should honor God with it from the point of view that it is part of our increase. If you receive a substance or Social Security, that's not an increase. And in those cases, we use the principle based upon the Old Testament that you had the sequence of offerings. The whole burnt offering with a bullock or a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove or a handful of flour. And the handful of flour was for those who obviously do not have enough. But nevertheless, God is first in their lives. And so that's how we need to look at these things and measure them. We don't know when this is going to come down. Some of the predictions may be correct. It may happen this year. We don't know. But since they've been saying it's going to happen for the last 10 years, and it hasn't happened yet, we know we're closer to when that time will come, but we haven't arrived there at that point. So we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and active as ants, as it were, to store up for the things that we need, but not to think that the store itself is going to save us, nor our thoughts or our ways, but God's ways. So we need to be prepared, and this is what's going to happen to the banking system sooner or later. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.